When there's a fire or medical emergency, most run the other way. For hundreds of volunteers in our community, it's the exact opposite. This year, Portage Health Foundation is celebrating those volunteers with $50,000 in funding. All volunteer emergency services units in Baraga, Houghton, Keweenaw, or Onondaga County are eligible for this funding with up to $5,000 available per grantee. This grant can be used to fund new turnout gear, make upgrades to vehicles or buildings, and much more. We can't wait to see how this funding will be used to make our community a safer place. Learn more at phfgive.org.
Good Sunday morning and welcome again to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you each week by the Portage Health Foundation. You can find out more about them at phfgive.org. The sun has finally come out. The temperature has warmed up, and you know what that brings out here in the Copper Country? It brings out bicyclists, both on the trails that we have here and on the roads. And because May is Bicycle Safety Month, I thought I'd bring in an expert to talk about bicycling and particularly bicycling safely as we get back out onto the roads. This is James Studinger, who is a UP native, but nowadays he's kind of, well, during the week, you're what, a stuffy investment counselor down in Southeast Michigan, James?
Yeah, it's probably not a job anybody wants to have at the moment.
Well, there are good days and bad days and good years and bad years, I assume, but the theory is if you stick with it, it all works out, right?
It does, yeah.
You're a native of the UP, correct?
I grew up in Manistique, so yes, a beautiful little town up there. It still has my heart, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's really tough to take the Uper out of the person, even if we move the person out of the Uper.
I've found that it is impossible to take it out.
And basically, looking at your resume, every opportunity you get, you come driving up north of the bridge and you hop on a bicycle, and I think you have ridden more miles on a bicycle across the Upper Peninsula than anybody I've ever talked to before.
I think you, I think that's probably right. I think I've been on just about every paved road you can find up there by now. So I have developed thousands of miles of bike routes and, I have, I guess, become a pretty good source of information on where to road bike up in the UP.
And James is involved with something that happens here each summer, the Big Tour de UPA bike event, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But I thought, James, since this is Bicycle Safety Month in May, let's start talking about some of the ways that bicyclists can be safe on the road. And let me start with the first suggestion I think that most anybody would have. That bike's been in the garage for a long time. Should you take it in and have it serviced?
It's a good idea in the beginning of the year or the end of the year before you put it in the garage to give it a good cleaning, do some simple things like check the chain to see if it has stretched. There's a little tool, probably like a $10 tool anybody can own, or a bike mechanic would have that. Make sure things are lubricated, make sure things are cleaned up, that it's not full of grease and everything. One of the big enemies in biking is wind and resistance, and we can clean up a lot of that resistance just by having a clean bike. So that's always a great first step, for sure.
Making sure the brakes are working appropriately, the shifters are working appropriately?
Absolutely. I had, sometimes people don't think about their brake pads, or now we've got a lot of disc brakes, but you know they do wear down, and when you start to have to squeeze the brake handles where there's a lot of travel, it can be a pretty good indication that your brake pads are getting low, and you don't want them to suddenly go out on you. You'd rather replace them before you need to.
And especially here in Houghton and Hancock, where we have such severe hills, and people do ride on those hills. If you're going down one of those hills, the last thing you want to experience is brake failure.
Yeah, if you have brakes that are on the edge, you could lose them by the time you get to the bottom. the hills in Houghton are extreme, there's no doubt.
So we certainly want to have a safe bicycle before we go out. Let's talk about gear as well. Helmets, let's admit it, they look kind of dorky, but boy, they're important.
You know, I started doing triathlons probably a decade ago. That's what got me into biking in the first place. And that was the first time I wore a bike helmet, to be honest. And now I cannot get on my bike without a helmet on. once you get used to it, it's just second nature. I haven't had a problem yet, but I have seen people wipe out, go over their handlebars, and if they hadn't had a helmet on, they would have had some serious problems. So It's a standby for me now to put it on. Getting my kids to wear it, you know, that was a little bit more difficult.
Good luck
with
that.
They don't want to wear it on their way to school, but they do ride their bikes with me. We go on road bike rides, and obviously they put it on, and it feels second nature to put it on when you're doing something like that.
Is fit important?
Fit of the helmet?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, you want it to not be uncomfortable at all. Most of them have an adjustment in the back, but there are different sizes. And first of all, get something that's the proper size. And then each of them have a little knob in the back that can tighten appropriately so it's not too tight, but that it's on your head. Tighten the strap enough so that it's, again, not tight, but it's not wobbling and dangling 3 inches off of your chin. The fit of the helmet is extremely important. Even the fit of the bike is extremely important. I mean, that's something people spend money on a bike, and sometimes a lot of money and sometimes not as much. But you think you just hop on a bike, and if it feels like you can reach the pedals okay, then everything must be all right. But getting professionally fitted on a bike makes a night and day difference if you're traveling any amount of distance. Or if you find yourself getting overly fatigued, certain muscles, maybe the top of your thighs or something, getting overly fatigued, it could simply be that you're not fitted properly on your bike. And you would think that we could do that by eyeballing it on our own. But when you go to a professional fitter and they use the technology to get it down to the millimeters of seat placement and everything, it makes a tremendous difference. So fitting of all your gear, bike, helmet, shoes, all that makes a difference.
And we're very fortunate to have some wonderful bike dealers here in the Copper Country, even up towards Copper Harbor. Let's talk about the quality of the bike, because you can go out to the discount store and you can get a bike for not very much money. You can go to one of the bike dealers and pay significantly more for a bike. What difference do you see between the discount bike and the better quality bike? Is it worth paying that kind of money?
So I think it depends on what you're riding a bike for. If you're just casually going around town, there's probably not a big difference. If you're getting aggressive on the mountain bike trails, it starts to make quite a difference, especially when you're climbing a hill. And then on the road bike, if you're doing any kind of distance, so if you're a triathlon or road bike rider or even a distance gravel rider, the lighter the bike is, sometimes some added suspension in there, it can start to make a really big difference the more miles you put on.
Talking with James Studinger, he is with Tour de Joupe. We're talking about bicycle safety, and we will talk about Tour de Joupe in just a few minutes before we get done with the segment as well. The difference between a bike for casual riding around town and the bike that you would want if you're going to do some of the wonderful trails at Copper Harbor, do people sometimes own two different bikes for such purposes?
Absolutely. Bikes are pretty specialized these days. So a lot of times people have a road bike, or it could be a triathlon bike, and they have a mountain bike, and they might have a fat tire bike for the winter time. They might have a gravel bike, which is similar to a road bike, but it's got disc brakes and a little bit wider tires where you could actually put some knobby tires on if you wanted to. So, you know, years ago, you might have had one or two bikes, and that was just fine. And these days, I see people have five or six bikes, and it seems a little over the top. But each one is unique and specified for the task at hand. And if you're doing any kind of competitive riding, then clearly you need to have a bike that's designed for that specific competition, or you're not going to be competitive at all. So, and bike companies, they keep making more and more specialized bikes. So probably 5 years from now, we'll have even more bikes than we have today.
And you mentioned tires. Does it make a difference what kind of tire you have based on what kind of riding you're doing?
It does. And this is kind of a nice trend, actually. When I started doing triathlons, like I said, about a decade ago, we rode on 23-millimeter tires, which are very skinny and unforgiving. And now it's more common to ride on 28-millimeter tires, and you don't even have to put as much air in them. So they're way more forgiving. They're more stable. So there's been a lot of development in the tires, in the rims, and it's geared around comfort and aerodynamics. And so it's very important if you're not doing well on the road and somebody else is whizzing by you, you know, it could be something as simple as the kind of wheel set or the kind of tire that you have on, or if you're complaining at the end of the day that you're incredibly uncomfortable and you're riding on those 23 little skinny tires, you know, that it could be as simple as just getting a different wheel set where a little bit wider tire is available, and reducing the amount of air you put in there and being way more comfortable.
Now it's been
talking to a friend the other day, and he was saying, you know, he's never comfortable riding a road bike. And I think a lot of that has to do with probably the type of bike that he's on, the skinny tires. He's not fit for it. Riding a road bike should not be an uncomfortable experience for somebody. And if it is, you have somebody look at your gear and see where you can make some improvements on that.
It's been a few decades since I was a marathon bike rider. Back in those days, we worked on the assumption that the wider the tire, the more the resistance that you would encounter. So it was easier to ride on narrow tires, even if it was a little bit bumpier. Is that still the case, or has tire design gone past that?
So I think because of the development of the rims, the wheel set, where you've got a deeper wheel set, it's not back when what you're talking about, you had a little aluminum wheel set that was extremely skinny, and now they're a little deeper, more aerodynamic, and they're finding that the wider tire with a deeper wheel set that's more aerodynamic is actually faster than what you're describing from a couple decades ago.
Well,
and more comfortable.
Things have changed. Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, as we're kind of wrapping up our conversation about tires, in regards to safety, the appropriate inflation level is also important.
It is. And, you know, when I, again, back like the type of tire you're talking about, I used to pump my tire up to 120 PSI, which is basically like riding on concrete.
Yeah.
But now my rims and tires, I only pump up to 75 PSI. So it's dictated by the type of wheels that you have, the wheel set. And a lot of them are moving toward a little bit lower PSI, which is more comfortable, better ride quality, and better maneuverability and safer.
So I'm going out for my first ride around town now that spring has finally set in here in the Copper Country. What do I need to take with me? What do I need to have to make sure that I stay safe? And I'll start with, because I drive to work in the dark all through the summer because I come in so early, good lighting on your bike. Important?
It's huge. So the UP is a phenomenally safe place to ride your bike. Over the last 6 years, it has averaged around 20 vehicle to bicycle accidents a year. Compare that to downstate, it ranges between 1,200 and 1,400 per year. And we all know the UP has a smaller population per the landmass. However, it gets millions of visitors a year. So it's not like there aren't people driving the car up there. It is a tremendously safe place, especially if you get off the beaten path. You know, most of the vehicles are driving the main roads all the time, and they don't go on the more of the rural countryside roads. They're just getting from point A to point B in the quickest and the shortest road that they can. So I've read every crash report over the last 6 years. There's not that many of them. And most of the accidents happen in a town, so in the town of Houghton, in the town of Marinette or Marquette. And most of them happen at an intersection or where somebody's pulling out from a parking lot. And in those cases, a bike light definitely can help, even if you're just going around town. Because if you've got that flashing white light in front of your bike, that vehicle may have seen you when they're pulling out of the parking lot. Sometimes vehicles just don't have it in their head to look out for a bike. They're looking out for an oncoming car. And cars all now have running lights during the day, and a bike also should. And that flashing running light can make a huge difference. So in the town, even if you go on short trips, a flashing light in the front, a flashing light in the back, I think is probably the number one safety that you can implement. Then when you're going out and about in the countryside, it's the, especially the backlight, is hugely important because, again, a vehicle could be driving for a long time and not see a biker, not be thinking about it, and just not even, maybe mentally kind of see that the biker's there, but not, maybe not make that connection. But that flashing light gets their attention, and then they can, you know, move over appropriately to give the 3 feet of legal space required to go around a biker. There was an accident a couple of years ago where it was on a rural road, and a vehicle was making a left turn into their driveway, and two bicyclists ran into the car when it made the turn. So clearly the vehicle didn't see the bikers. It wasn't indicated that they had lights on, and that probably would have helped if they did have lights on. Again, sometimes people, we're not registered to look for a biker. We haven't seen one for a long time. Having that flashing light is a way to get their attention. So I think that's the number one safety thing that anybody can implement, no matter how long of a ride they're going for.
And if you are biking at night, please don't be subtle. I can't tell you how many times I have made the turn on US 41 coming into Houghton through the Michigan Tech campus, and I see a little movement off to the right, and there's a bicyclist who is barely lit or maybe just relying on the little reflector on the back of the bike, and I catch my breath and I go, whoa, man, I'm sure glad I saw them.
Yeah.
Please don't be subtle.
Yep.
Be obnoxious, for heaven's sake, because it could save your life.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I would also say communicate with all of the people on the road. So we as bikers, we have a job to educate and make sure that people driving the car are used to seeing us. And so anytime when I'm coming to an intersection, whether or not if I have the right of way, I'm always watching the vehicle behavior to see, do they see me? You know, do we make eye contact? Do they know that I'm here? And what does it look like they intend on doing? And I behave appropriately based on that. And be friendly as bikers, you know, because sometimes vehicle drivers think that we may be holding them up or something. So it's our job to be friendly and wave and smile and say thank you when they let us pass by, you know, that we're all sharing this road. So act accordingly. Be defensive, like what you're saying, and also be very kind and appreciative.
And if you are a driver, you mentioned the 3 foot minimum rule. You're supposed to give a three foot distance between yourself and the bike. If you can give more, please give more. If there's nobody coming in oncoming traffic, I'll swerve all the way around into the opposite lane to make sure that bicyclist stays safe, because you just don't want to have an accident happen.
No, and there's a good point there too. Mumble strips, or you could call them rumble strips. Have become a huge part of the feedback that I provide for the state. And it has been recognized that the rumble strip in the middle of the road, vehicles are less likely to cross over it to yield space to bikers because of the noise. And so they have a tendency to stay a little bit closer to bikers. It's actually great, if you're wondering and you're driving a car, it's great to go over the center. The bicyclist knows that you're there. They can hear you. And it gives enough passing space as you pass the biker and then go back over the center when you get back into your lane again. Well, another thing on mumble and rumble strips is, so the state is, actually this has happened in other states too, but in Michigan, they did a test on what they call mumble strips, which were on the shoulder. And they put them down on different shoulder widths and different width mumble strips, and if they had a brake or didn't have a brake. And so they're all throughout the UP now on a lot of the roads, and a lot of the roads that have more narrow shoulders. And one thing I want to just mention to all the vehicle drivers out there is, a lot of times there's a mumble strip on the shoulder, and it has eliminated the biker's ability to use that shoulder. And sometimes the you can't see it if you're driving your car. And so sometimes I see vehicles get aggravated that bikers are on the road, not realizing that they have no option. They cannot use the shoulder. They cannot be on the road. So I think everybody needs to be aware of the mumble strips that exist. And the state is now going through a phase, and it's going to take many years, of cleaning up some of the problems that were caused during this test period, widening the shoulders where they need to, modifying the mumble strips where it was put down in a way that's not safe. But that's going to take many years to fix. So I think everybody just needs to be aware of this phenomenon. Bikers sometimes will be on the road, and they don't want to be on the road, but they have no option other than to be on the road. And until it can get fixed, everybody just needs to be aware of this. And when weather is bad, that's when it's the worst, because visibility is low. You see a biker, hopefully they've got a flashing red light. You might not know they're on the road. You probably think they're on the shoulder, and then you get closer to them, and you, at the last minute, realize they're on the road. So especially in bad weather, just be very cautious as you approach bikers and find out if they're on the road or on the shoulder, and always give appropriate space.
ABC, always be careful. James Studinger, let's talk a little bit about Tour de Joop, which is an extensive event, the official event coming up later on this summer. And basically, somebody can sign up with this and ride basically all the way around the Upper Peninsula. Tell me a little about it.
So I started it, this will be the fifth year, and I started it to raise awareness about safe biking in the UP. I have friends and friends of friends that have been paralyzed and busted up, and friends of friends that have died being hit by a vehicle on a bike. Downstate, it's tremendously busy, and when I'd go back home, I'd see people biking on US 2 and M28, and never would I see a bike on the quiet roads. And it didn't make any sense to me. And I realized people just don't know where to go. So I thought, well, if I do a 1,200-mile ride around the perimeter of the UP, it'll raise awareness to the safe biking that exists in the UP, map out some good routes for people to realize where they can ride their bike, and we'll get more bikers up there and we'll save lives. That was the simple goal that I had in mind that first year. I also created a plaid jersey, encouragement for people to accomplish all 1,200 miles. When they get done on their final day, they wear this plaid jersey, and that would be a way of cementing your accomplishment on the Hall of Plaid on our website, and I had some fun with it. 5 years later, I've been way more involved in bike safety and biking than I ever thought I would be, but we're having an absolute blast. We've partnered up with the Lions Club Childhood Cancer and met some phenomenal people throughout the Upper Peninsula, and we've been bringing bikers in from Germany and Alaska and Hawaii and all over the lower 48 states, introducing them to safe biking, and we're just having a great time. We have an annual event where we support a large group ride and help people get all the way around the Upper Peninsula, or do a day or two or three, however many days they want to do. And we also have it open throughout the year for self-supported riders that want to do it on their own calendar schedule. And they just can go to the website and get all the routes in a jersey. And if they get it all done, they can get the plaid jersey. They just tell me how they're doing along their milestone accomplishments, and when they get close, I can make sure I can have a jersey shipped up to wherever they're going to be doing their last ride so they can wear it on their final day as well.
Now, where is the website, and how can people find out about this?
Tour de Joop, TourDaYoopeh. When I first came up with the name, it's basically an invitation to ride your bike around the UP with me. So Tour de Joop is come ride your bike around the UP with me.
And you can go to tourdejoop.com.
Everything is on the website. We've got it spelled out, I think, very easily for people. It's broken down into the annual ride, which is the supported event. And then we have four different self-supported rides. One is the same as the annual ride. Another one is something I call the journey. And this is for people. We had a couple from Tennessee do this ride last year, and they spent 3 months doing it, backpacking and really getting to know the UP. And when you accomplish that, then you get the green plaid jersey. I've got another ride called Loop de Joop, and that is where you're, let's say, going to spend a weekend in Lens, and there'll be a bunch of different loops that you can do in and out of Lens, or riding over to Big Bay, or riding up to Houghton for the afternoon. And then Bike UP is the other self-supported ride, And that one's really unique. It explores the interior of the Upper Peninsula. And the route is six different routes, and it actually spells bike UP.
All right.
Look at it on a map.
And I've got to cut us off here, James, because we are out of time. But go to tourdeupa.com, and you can find out about the ride, which will be officially coming up later this summer, or as he mentions, it's something you can do anytime. And James Studinger, thank you so much for the info this morning. Good luck with Tour de Upe later on this summer.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.